the eternal God, always existing in the perfect, loving fellowship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this morning, as we look into Genesis chapter 28 and our text verses 10 through 24, I ask you the question, how do you respond to the grace of God's promised presence? Genesis 28, beginning of verse 10, says, Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. The word of the Lord. Quick recap. During Rebecca's very difficult pregnancy with these two twin smash brothers, Esau and Jacob, Isaac and Rebecca heard the word of the Lord to them. Genesis 25:23, the oracle from the Lord, the older shall serve the younger. The older shall serve the younger. But what happened? Isaac and Rebekah played favorites, and they played each other in bitterness. Esau played his hand in rebellion. Jacob played his hand in deception. Finally, Isaac bought Jacob's big cheat and unintentionally at first gave the birthright blessing to the younger son, to Jacob. But God's grace brought an earthquake of conviction to Isaac in that moment. And that's why I believe we read in Hebrews 11 that by faith Isaac pronounces in Genesis, yes, and Jacob shall be blessed. Jacob shall be blessed. And Esau is seized up with so much anger And he starts looking for an opportunity to murder Jacob. So Mama Bear Rebecca convinces her husband Isaac to send Jacob far away to the old country. And she appeals to him, right? You've got to send him away. He's got to go find a wife among my relatives. Not a weird thing back then. And Isaac is swayed by Rebekah's persuasive complaint about Esau's wives, right? Oh, I loathe my life, Isaac, because of those Hittite women of Esau. This patriarchal family has been handed down through Abraham the covenantal promise of Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth. And yet this family is so messed up. So messed up. They're all leaning on their own understanding instead of trusting the Lord. Where does all the drama and conflict come from? The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And the absence of faith always creates this kind of family friction. And now, for the first time in his life, Jacob is out on his own. It's a very stressful situation. This young man, who's been so comfortable with all of his big thoughts and his big comfy tent, he's now fleeing for his life through the wilderness. He's headed on foot on a journey of some 500 miles up to Uncle Laban's place in Mesopotamian Haran. The family tents in Beersheba, the place of the oath, have disappeared in the rearview mirror. See that picture of where he's headed? He's going one more up north. So he's moving from Beersheba. Is that picture there? There we go. Thanks, Matthew. Beersheba, right? And he's headed up to Bethel, eventually all the way up to Uncle Laban's house. Okay. And we know this adventure is going to take Jacob like far beyond his imagination, right? Reality is often stranger than fiction. And God's word is like zero fake news. So we can take all of this just as it's written. Of course, we live in a world that's chock full of fake news, right? Because the father of lies is working his work, a work of deception and division. But Genesis 28 is written to guide all of God's beloved people of promise on our journey all the way home to God's awesome, gracious house. And I pray this word will encourage you in this way by God's Spirit today, that you will be able to answer in the way that pleases Him. How do you respond to the grace of God's promised presence? You know, grace, by definition, it's a gift, right? It's a gift of God. Someone said grace as an acronym would be God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is the gift that we need to live, because we were born under a curse of our sin. And we're not God. Only God is God. Holy, holy, holy. God is infinite. We're finite creations. But God cares for us. He knows exactly what we need. And now, in case you needed a reminder, now is not the time to sleep, right? We're not here to sleep. But sleep is God's gift to us for when we need sleep. Aren't you glad for the Bible saying, "Behold, He gives His beloved sleep"? Amen. I hope you had good sleep. We know when we don't. And Jacob finds out you can only go so far without a recharge. Exhausted after walking some 55 miles already over rough terrain to get up there, he finds a stone pillow and he drifts off to sleep under the blanket of that night sky. And no doubt his thoughts are heavy with his anxiety. Isaac had given him the blessing he wanted so badly. He wanted that blessing from his dad so bad. And yet, now Jacob is moving away from all that that blessing had indicated. Where's the promised land? Where's all the people to fill it? All those promised people. He's all alone. No family support, no prospects, and the light has vanished. It's so, so dark. But wait, we read Jacob has a dream. Jacob has a dream. And it wasn't a dream that Jacob thought up, like, I have a dream. Not like that. No, suddenly, Jacob sees a ladder reaching from the earth all the way up to the heavens. He's dreaming. At the same time, behold. That word is meant to get our attention. Behold, Jacob sees the multitudes of the heavenly host, God's angels, going up the ladder and down the ladder. And we don't know exactly what those steps look like. But we know that this dream ladder is a very busy ladder, right? I mean, the angelic traffic is tremendous. And behold again, above this stairway to heaven, overlooking everything, is who? It's the Lord Himself. It's Yahweh. It's the Creator King. And behold, a further shocking surprise. Even though Jacob was feeling mighty low and all alone as the consequence of his own choices, in this dream, the Lord, who controls heaven and earth, speaks. He speaks, the Lord speaks to Jacob very specifically, and can we say covenantally? Not sure if that's a word or not, but that's how he's speaking. The Lord gives Jacob the same promises he's given Abraham and Isaac. The Lord is assuring Jacob, yeah, you are a son of my promise. I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land in which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I'm with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done everything I promised you. Right? Isn't this blessing from the Lord Himself infinitely more assuring than the blessing that Jacob sought from his earthly daddy? The Lord God is so awesome. And beloved, He's so gracious to make Himself known to us. God makes Himself known to Jacob personally as the God who gives promises and keeps all of those promises. He's a promise keeper. I'm not only the God of Abraham and Isaac, I'm your God, Jacob. You may feel alone, but fact, you're never going to be alone. I'm with you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to bring you back to the promised land. I'm going to do all the things through your offspring to one day bless all the families of the earth. Church, most of us are not the physical lineage of Jacob. But aren't you glad we're the spiritual lineage? Aren't you glad that the mighty God of Jacob is our mighty fortress too? And God is graciously working His sovereign work. No matter what you see going on around you, He's working His work all according to promise. And here Jacob is dreaming, but God is using it to reveal the reality that God makes real. That there's no greater blessing than the promise of God's presence upon you. God's letting Jacob know, I'm always present, always in control. You're always in the scope of divine overwatch. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's the truth that sets us free. And this is quite an amazing dream revelation, a blessing from God, isn't it? But go to the other side of the table. What has Jacob brought to the table? What has Jacob brought to deserve such blessings? Well, we have to say nothing except his self-centered conniving and manipulative deceptions. It's the Lord himself, the master and commander of all things, seen and unseen, who initiates this covenantal relationship in the glory of his amazing grace. I'm here today because grace intervenes. Grace that is greater than all our sin. You may recognize the name John Newton, who lived for many years in charge of a slave trading ship. A couple hundred years ago, that was him, doing wicked, wicked things, engaging in unspeakable horrors, such hateful crimes against humanity. But then God did what only God can do. And behold, John Newton, like Jacob, like all the children of God's promise, came to know God personally as the Redeemer, as a Savior. And John Newton puts the truth this way in his famous hymn, right? I once was lost. That's everybody. But he could say, can you? Now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. See, that's amazing grace. And because of grace, Newton also teaches us to sing in that stanza, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. That doesn't sound very comfortable and appeasing, does it? Appealing. No, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. Consider the gracious word that God speaks to that self-reliant, lying cheat Jacob in the dream that lit up that dark night. These are amazing words of grace. Yes, you, Jacob, you can trust me. I'm going to bring you back home to the promised place. I'm going to make your people spread out in every direction, even more than the dust particles you're walking on. I'm going to deliver all the blessings. And the impact of your offspring, somebody who's coming from you, Jacob, is going to be earth-changing. This is my program. And even though these promises don't seem very likely to you at the moment, this is my promise. I'm with you. And you're always going to have the protection of my presence. And I just repeat that again so maybe it'll sink in a little more. This is amazing grace. And immediately, when you think about this, there's a Pharisee in all of us, right? There's a Pharisee in us that immediately wants to critique, why would God show any kind of grace to this Jacob character? Instead of amazing, we may think God's grace too scandalous when we witness how God treats some other people. Like, God, do you know their track record? Do you know, like, that conversation I had with them last week? Do you know what they did? And we may even get really ticked off when we see, well, God just keeps meeting people in his grace. He meets them, he meets people in their failures with his grace. And it ticks us off because Pharisees are no friend of grace. But then again, whether we realize it or not, we're always demonstrating how personally needy we are for God's grace. Especially so when we think we deserve it. How do you respond to the grace of God's promised presence. We can feel so entitled. But we need to take a lesson here, because what does Jacob do? Jacob worships. He worships. After the dream, Jacob wakes up in a fearful fit of amazement. And he says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven." Surprise, friends. No matter where you find yourself, Almighty God is right there. He's there. And you can run, you can choose to run, but you can't hide from eternal God. God is God and there is no other. But wonder of wonders, God's awesome house is an awesome, gracious house. It's a place of grace. And when you wake up to the reality of the ever-present Almighty God, then your soul will be gripped with a proper fear of the Lord. This is a holy space. It's awesome like no other place. Jacob says, I didn't realize it before, but the Lord himself he's right here. He's getting a wake-up call to reality, right? As the Lord just kind of like peels back the curtain. This is me, right here. Angel traffic, I'm over all of it. Right? God's presence is everywhere in creation because he's the creator. So no matter where you are in your life, you've got to know that there is glorious access to heaven, because the Lord himself opens up the heavens and comes down. And he knows our need. And he cares. He comes to meet us in our need. But the way you choose to respond to God's presence, that's your move. You can try to run away in denial. You can try just working harder. I'll just lean on my own understanding. I can figure this out. You can assault God's place as sovereign and supreme over the world. You can attempt building up your own stairway to heaven. My good works. But you know, every Tower of Babel ends in tragic confusion and defeat. And what does Romans say? We all fall short of the glory of God. Not even close. You can't get to God's awesome, gracious house going your own way. But that's what makes it so amazing, right? That grace. God makes a way. He makes the way for us. We fall short of God's glory, so we require the glory of God's grace. And his amazing grace opens our eyes to respond, like Jacob, like to worship. You're looking for spirit and truth worship. And I'm not worthy, but you are. This is the worship that the Father is seeking from your heart. He's calling you to worship him with all that you are. And the proper focus, Jacob realizes that night in the wilderness, is it's him. The proper focus is the Lord. Worshiping the one at the top of that stairway to heaven. That's no casual thing. But it is life's pressing purpose. Jacob is getting it. He's waking up to reality. And so he wakes up early in the morning, and he's getting after his plan, right? He takes that stone that was under his head, and he sets it up for a pillar-like altar, a place of memorial to the Lord. Because memorials matter, right? There are things that have happened that we must never forget. The people of God's promise must never forget. But how do we come to know the blessing of the Lord in the first place? It's all grace. And Jacob pours out the oil on the stone in sanctified worship. and he renames that ancient site of Luz to Bethel, right? Bethel, house of God. And yeah, Jacob's faith in God's promises, it's got a long way to, his faith has got a long way to go. And I hope you can relate to that, because just like the generation coming out of Egypt with Moses, we all have a long way to go in our faith. Sanctification is a journey, and every step requires grace. Orange construction barrels, right? You're like, oh, don't bring those up, Scott. They're all over the place. And they're all over this Jacob project. He's a work in progress. But Jacob makes his vow in worshipful response to God's word. His vow is a step of faith. I don't think we're meant to read it as a bargaining chip. It's a step of faith. Okay, Lord, I believe you. If you, God, will be with me, you'll keep me in this way that I'm going, you'll give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, return me safely to my father's house. And you, O Yahweh, shall be my God. Then, verse 22, this stone I've set up as a pillar will be the house of God, Bethel. And as for all you give to me, I will give the tenth of it back to you. Jacob has a whole lot of cheating and deceiving to still work through. But you can see God's grace is changing him. It's life-changing, amazing grace. Aren't you grateful that God works that grace in spite of all of our failures? We quoted from 2 Timothy last week, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. There's a call right here. Grace will bring all the faithful all the way home to God's awesome, gracious house. There's something else. We're going to jump ahead just a second. Because God does, in fact, bring Jacob back, just like he says in Genesis 35. And what does Jacob do? Well, Jacob does what he says. He worships God again at this place called Bethel, the house of God, and he responds to God's grace, his generous grace, with generous, grateful giving. Because you can't outgive God. God's favor is so infinitely rich. And God responds to Jacob by affirming again his promise and giving Jacob a new name, the name of promise. God says in Genesis 35, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. And so all the children of Israel look to God's promise. Look to the amazing grace journey of their father Israel, Jacob. It's an amazing grace journey. But what about you today? How do you respond to the grace of God's promised presence? Do you understand that outside of God's presence, there is no blessing? There's only cursing. And so you don't want to miss God's grace. And the only proper response is to render your everything to the Lord God, to worship the Maker who rules over all and yet comes near to bless you with the saving favor of his presence. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, reveals something more about Jacob's dream ladder and the fulfillment of God's gracious promise to Jacob. Do you remember when Jesus is speaking to one of Israel's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, a guy named Nathanael? And Jesus is moved by Nathanael's eager response. And Jesus says to Nathanael, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And who is the Son of Man? Who is this messianic Son of Man? It's Jesus. Jesus uses this title from Daniel 7 over and over because he is the anointed one promised for long, long ages. And the Father speaks confirmation over Jesus in Mark 9. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Jacob wakes from his surprise dream, understanding that the focal point he needs in his life is right there at the top of the ladder, the Lord, God. And God is revealing to us, Jesus is Lord. He's the one at the top of the ladder. He's the focal point for true worshipers. Friends, he's worthy of our reverence because the blessing that we need is only found in him. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. 1 Timothy 2. See, God fulfills promised blessing through Jacob's offspring, who is ultimately and specifically Jesus, the God-man Jesus. And wherever you are in your life, you can know that the one mediator you need is right there offering the blessing of his presence. And his presence is everything. None of us deserve the covenantal blessings found in Jesus, but Jesus meets us in our need and he welcomes us to the joy of God's awesome, gracious house. He says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Hebrews chapter 1 says he sends his angels out. Why is there all that traffic? Because he's sending his angels out, Hebrews explains, to minister to his people. And he provides the indwelling power of God the Holy Spirit in us by grace. So when we recognize, like Jacob, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, right where I am, even if it looks like a wilderness all around me, there's only one proper response. It's to worship. To worship. And then giving God a tenth of all the things that God has provided for us. It's just a symbolic, grateful token, because he's worthy of it all. It all belongs to him. He's worthy of your whole life. No reserves, no turning back, no matter what. Jacob didn't vow to give back to God grudgingly or out of compulsion. He's generations before the Mosaic law that Jesus fulfilled. He's not trying to earn merit by writing God a check. No, he just desires to be a worshiper, a cheerful giver, the kind that God loves, 2 Corinthians 9:7, the kind of generous giver who's motivated by God's awesome grace. And no, Jacob is not perfect, but his faith is focused all the way up the ladder to the Lord of glory. And there's no greater blessing. Wherever you are in your life's journey, I'm just asking you, are you living in assurance that God's awesome, gracious house is for you? You need not wonder if God is going to come through on his promise. You can live in the wonder of faith. And you can make today a step of faith that pleases the Lord by just surrendering your heart to him and being amazed by His grace. I remember a long time ago, I took an introductory speech class in college, and they gave us these little prompts. And so they, like, gave you a couple words, and then you had to, like, speak, you know, extemporaneously. And with little sheets of paper, and the teacher came around, the professor, and I opened mine up, and it just said, "Our house." And she called on me, and the only thing I could think of was, "Our house is a very, very, very fine house." Music is powerful, right? We're talking about our Father's house. Our house is a very, very, very fine house. He's adopted us in love, undeserving sinners as we are. Our elder brother Jesus is leading the way, all the way home. He finished the legal work at His own expense and is Himself the way, the truth, and the life. He will never leave us or forsake us. And this is how. This is how we fight the anxiety and the distress and the fears that assault us. For every step of our long night, there's grace upon grace upon grace. Just take another step. What's your next step for Jesus? And one bright morning, we're going to wake up. We're going to behold the brightness of His glory face to face. Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to Myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thank you for speaking your grace into our lives. To gather together today to remember and never forget that memorial, the value of the blood you shed for us, Jesus. To open the way so that in resurrection power we walk through this life's journey in the confidence that Your awesome, gracious house, God, it's the house where You're leading us. You're leading us all the way home. And I pray if there's somebody here who can't say with assurance that they know that Your presence is with them, that Your grace will never leave them or forsake them, Lord, would You draw them today, please, for Your glory? And Lord, will You make this gathering a moment where we all take the next step for You, Jesus? Grow our faith, grow our dependency on Your enabling grace for the next steps. And help us to encourage one another, and so much the more as we see that day approaching. We pray for Jesus' sake, with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. The Lord is gracious. He is kind. Let's stand together and let's be dismissed with the anthem that's